They were frightened.
I want masks. What is this?
Listen, I'll grant your Pelgo is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I gotta lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bye! Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Tuesday in the football season, which means only one thing here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. We're joined by Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. Maz, say hello to Greg.
Hi, Greg.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. You know, a little practice this morning.
You've been down there every day, haven't you?
You
gotta
raise,
You got to raise that chair a little, big boy.
You know, I'm sinking a little bit. I don't know.
Unless the spring
none
is,
of these chairs work.
Unless the spring is broken.
You're very high up, Mass.
You've been down there the whole time, right?
Yep.
Like back to your old days.
Yeah. And it's been good. I mean, I miss when you're a national guy and you're sort of floating and keeping an eye on things, like you feel sort of out of sorts. But, you know, being back now there every day, able to concentrate on one team, like it's much better for me.
Okay.
I feel like in my element.
So let's do some football. You know the drill when Greg's in here. We talk football for the first 2 hours of the program. So, Jimmy, you can release the hounds for the football people of Boston, 617-779-0985. In your opinion, Greg, after being down there now 5 days, what's the lead story of camp so far?
Lead story of camp right now, I would have to say, I would say overall it's sort of the pace of practice, like in what's going on. Like today, I thought the Patriots were terrible. You know, and I was surprised that Belichick did not throw them off the field at some point. I mean, and this is after they had a day off. I expect them to be a little bit sharper, but there were a lot of false starts. The ball was on the ground, not very crisp. Guys getting beaten, to blocks. I think it was Patricia at one point made the whole defense run a lap. Like, their film session tonight is going to be brutal. So I expect them to be better tomorrow.
Yeah, Bill's happy about it, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
But the whole camp so far has been, I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of intensity. A lot of it has been centered on blocking in the run game. We haven't seen a whole lot of, you know, passing and big plays since the first couple days when they were just in shells. Since the pads have come on, I'd say the tempo and the pace have been a little slower than what I'm used to with Patriots practices. Okay. So, I mean, it's nothing to be concerned about. I'm sure Bill has a reason for doing it this way. But just so far, it's been a little blah.
Okay, soft opening, if you
yep.
will. How about on defense there, Greg? We have Rob Ninkovich retiring. Coney Ealy, is he on the field? And what's going on with him? And
He is out there. He has not been good so far.
All right, so we started talking about this yesterday, about their outside linebacker / defensive end situation. Discuss.
Well, you know, you have Flowers is definitely the guy on the right side. I do think he's going to kick in inside a little bit on passing downs, but it's that left side, that end outside linebacker, what are they going to do there? You know, personally, and I wrote about this the other day, I think with David Harris here, and this is a guy who I think like 2 days in, he had a green dot for communication already. So that just tells you he's getting up to speed, very smart player. Having him here and able to be in the middle of the defense, if I'm the Patriots, as soon as Dont'a Hightower comes back, I'm looking at him first at that spot.
Outside.
I think he could be a little bit more effective out there. He could definitely – I think he could be better than Ninkovich there. I think he's a little stronger at the point of attack. He can get after the quarterback a little bit better. He's just as smart as Rob and can do those sorts of things. Beyond that, though, they're trying a bunch of different people. I mean, we've seen Van Noy out there, McClellan. There's a rookie undrafted kid, Lange, at linebacker. But today the big story for me was Dietrich Wise, the fourth-round pick, was with the starters, and the kid was making plays all over the field, all practice. He looks the part, as opposed to Rivers, the third-round pick, who seems skinny, needs a red shirt year, not really factoring into much of anything. Dietrich Wise looks like he's ready to play now. So that's a very good development for the Patriots.
So it's a good thing that Dietrich Wise is running with the ones, not a bad thing.
I think
it both
is.
Ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing that they think enough of him. And the other thing with him is not only are they having him on the outside and base and things like that, but they are kicking him inside. You'll see him in one-on-ones line up over guards. So they think that he's capable of doing a lot of things early. You don't see that a lot with rookies with the Patriots. Normally they're like, just concentrate on one thing. They're giving him a bunch of things. Now throwing him with the starters, it's not too big for him. Yeah, I think it's a really good sign.
What about the fight today? Julian Edelman and Stephon Gilmore showing the door.
Yeah, I think it's I think the whole passing attack, Edelman's been frustrated, hasn't gotten off to a great start. Hogan was frustrated today. Brady was frustrated at some of his receivers. I think the it's an indication of how good the coverage has been. And it's a lot of guys. It's not just Gilmore and Butler. It's guys like Cyrus Jones and Jonathan Jones and Justin Coleman. They've all been around the ball. And I think, you know, what happened was it was a Brissett like fade to the corner of the end zone to Edelman. Gilmore was right with Edelman. The pass floated over everyone's head. Edelman gave a frustrated shove to Gilmore in the back. He ended up on the ground. Gilmore got back up, and then they really went at it.
Are they in full pads today?
Yeah, in full pads. And some ball boy thought it was a bright idea to get in the middle of it. Not like one of the coaches. At first I thought it was a coach. I said, okay. No, it was some ball boy. he probably broke something in the process.
Did he try to take air out of the ball?
No, stop with that.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, go on.
So, and Bill kicked him out of practice, and Edelman walked off, then Gilmore, and, you know, it was one of those hot, humid days where guys weren't feeling it, and they were practicing crappy, and those are the type of things that happen.
Gilmore been good?
I would say he's been good. I mean, I wouldn't say he's been any sort of revelation or anything, but, yeah, he's a good player, and he makes them better.
Do you take it as a sign that he's scrapping like that, as a good sign that he's scrapping like that, or do you think training camp fights are overrated, or, you know?
Overall, I take it as a good sign because I think these DBs are getting in the receivers' heads. Because I would say so far, I would say that the secondary and the defense has won training camp so far over the offense. And that's good because all we could talk about coming in was how unbelievable the Patriots are in offense. And they are. But, you know, they're missing people. Like Amendola just got back today. Malcolm Mitchell hasn't been out there. Matthew Slater caught 2 touchdown passes today. And look good. I mean, that's where they are as far as the receivers.
Okay, Greg Bedard discussing training camp with you. 617-779-0985. How have the quarterbacks looked?
I think Brady has looked pretty good considering what he's had to work with.
Velocity on the throws okay?
Pretty good. I couldn't – when he trotted out for the first practice, I was like, my God, that guy looks 30. He does not look 40. He is so thin and wiry and strong. And he's drinking, you know, he has his own bottle. He doesn't have the regular water bottles. He has his own. And but
like a TB12 logo on it or something?
Probably. I can't see that far with my binoculars, but probably. I think the big thing out of the quarterbacks has been Garoppolo, since the first half of the first practice, has not been good. He threw 2 interceptions in the first practice, back-to-back plays, 2 interceptions in the second practice, back-to-back plays, and had, I think, 3 today. That being said, you know, we live and learn in this business. Like my thinking on Rob Gronkowski coming on in the draft, things like that. I learned my lesson on Jimmy G last year because we had a conversation where I was not that impressed with him going into
Arizona
because, you know, but we've learned that Jimmy's a gamer.
Well, I was just going to say, not a good practice player?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think he's more of a gamer, so I'm not alarmed. And there have been times where he has looked brilliant. He makes some very advanced throws. But the overall thought that I have watching him is this guy is ready right now to run his own team.
So why do you say that? Why do you say on one breath he hasn't been good, but yet you feel like...
It's the little things. It's the way, you know, it's sort of, you know, the way he throws with anticipation. It's how he handles everything as far as pressure looks and things like that. Like, he's in total control. Now, some of his interceptions, some of the people down there will probably agree with me. I think some of them were just, you know, they were sort of like red zone stuff, and he's just kind of forcing it in there. Sometimes you do that. I don't think there have been any. I missed the first about half an hour of practice today, but in my mind, there haven't been any like egregious, like, you know, Ryan Mallett type interceptions where you're like, what was he thinking there? There's none of that stuff. I think it's more of he's trying to fit balls into spots, and sometimes you have to do that as a quarterback. I mean, I remember going through that with Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron in training camp practices for a while, you know, he would only take the safe throws, but then he realized he had to force the issue in practice to be able to do it in a game. So those are the sort of the mistakes that I see Jimmy making.
Okay, more impressions from Bedard. We're talking Patriots. You want to join in?
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. Radio.com. Radio. Radio.com. We want to appeal to your
right down their throat.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, he's a smart kid. He works hard. You know, he's building his versatility. We'll see how far that goes. But, you know, he's got the ability to play inside, to play outside on the end of the line, you know, to play in some coverage situations, you know, to have a role in the kicking game, which is another thing that I wouldn't. You know, it wasn't a big role in Carolina. I don't know how big it'll be here, but it's already, I would say, more than what he had there. So, you know, we've asked him to do some new things, and we'll, you know, evaluate those as we go through camp and see how it goes.
Okay, that's Bill Belichick on Coney Ealy. This was the player as a veteran defensive end from Carolina that you traded for just before the draft. You traded a third rounder. Well, what you did is you traded eight slots down in the draft for Coney Ealy. So it was only eight slots. You moved from 64 to 72. It happened to be moving from the second to the third, which sounds bad, but it was only eight spots for Coney Ealy. And it seemed like a good price for a guy who dominated in the Super Bowl, you know, a couple years prior, and who I think was a former second round pick. And it felt like a no brainer kind of move, except now that he's on the field, Greg Bedard, he's been lost. Tell me about him quickly before we go to the phones.
Yeah, he got off to a rough start. Well, first of all, he wasn't even out there the first day, and whatever. It's between me and Belichick. I don't know. The next day he was out there.
That's what he said is between
That's
me.
What he said. He said, well, he said it, me and Belichick have a deal or something like that. Second day when he was out there early in practice, he got admonished by one of the coaches for doing the wrong thing in reaction to a play. He's been getting consistently whipped in one-on-ones. Pretty good. He has had a hard time on plays, you know, just regular team drills. You see him getting blocked and not getting off blocks very easily. You know, I wouldn't say that as far as the one-on-ones, he hasn't been like 0 for whatever. I mean, he has had a couple wins, but overall he has not been good. But, you know, look, it's just in new surroundings, new style. But he definitely has his work cut out. I mean, if he stays on this path, you know, we're looking at a guy who's probably going to get cut. But – it's very, you know, it's five practices in.
Does he have a reputation of being coachable?
No, I would say he has a reputation for maybe being a little stubborn. I mean, you know, we're talking.
Okay, so let me ask a question again. Yep. Does he have a reputation for being uncoachable?
No, I would just say that he's a little bit slow to adjust or to
buy in.
Yeah, buy in. I mean, you know, look, this is a guy who, in the Super Bowl against Denver, if the Panthers win that game, he might have been Super Bowl MVP. And then he came back the next year, last year, and he was just average. I mean, some of it had to do with the secondary and whatnot in Carolina, but he was getting benched at one point, and you know that stuff. I mean, he just hasn't taken off.
Okay, we're talking football with Bedard with you. 617-779-0985. Tony in Newburyport, lead us off.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Big fan of the show. I got a question. Obviously, the scuffle with Jules today and Gilmore. Do you think Belichick put Jules up to that?
No. No, it was just one of those. No, it was one of those post-play things.
So you were there, and it was spontaneous, and you could tell.
Yeah, I was watching through my binoculars. I saw the whole thing, and it was just one of those typical plays. You know, you've seen Julian do it in games. Where he gives a little shove after the whistle.
Over the years, he's become a little bit of a diva, hasn't he?
Not a diva. He's just one of those guys. He's always been one of those grunts who will, yeah, give a cheap shot every now and again, a little, you know, after the play, a little something. You know, that was one of those things. And Gilmore on a hot day just wasn't going to take it. And so he asserted himself.
To me, it says much more about Gilmore. We know Edelman and what he's capable of. I'm curious about Gilmore. You know, after you get that payday, you come into a new spot. You don't know how to win. You're a Buffalo Bill. You know, I have questions about that. Just the profile, not even knowing the guy. I'm just, you know, any day one free agent from Buffalo, I would just be leery of. And so, I don't know. I take it as a good sign. He cares enough. He's engaged. And I'll take it.
Sure. I'm happy to hear it. How could you, like, how's that a bad thing? Unless he did something dirty or cheap or really underhanded. It doesn't sound like that way. Sounds like Edelman started it, right?
Chris in Marblehead, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I want to talk just two quick questions. One's for Bedard and the other one's for the panel. The first one's about Dwayne Allen. How has he looked in training camp? Is he fitting in? Is he picking up the system? The second one's about Deion Lewis. Every time I've seen him, he looks real explosive. Every time he's been on the field, he looks great. I know he's got some, you know, big-time injury problems, but is there a chance that he's going to get cut, and how plausible is that? Is that going to happen, or, like, where are we on that? Thanks, Mike.
Okay, Deion Lewis first.
Lewis first? Sure, there's. I think there's a chance that he gets traded or released. He, you know, given his injury history and durability issues, you know, I could see the Patriots, if they can get a, I don't know, fifth or sixth round pick after somebody, you know, sort of cashing in. It all depends. Look, in the whole discussion about Lewis, if you could tell me right now where their health will be at running back entering the season, then we can talk. Because if somebody gets, if James White all of a sudden pulls a hammy and he's out for the first month, Deion Lewis is here and he's a big part of things. But look, it's crowded right now. But I think Lewis definitely has a pretty good shot of sticking if he's the kickoff returner. And it looks like that's the way they're trending. So if he does that, then he's got a spot on the team. And as far as Dwayne Allen, a little bit of a slow start. But, man, you should have seen him today in blocking drills. He put two guys on their rear end. I mean.
Oh, that got you excited.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the best blocking that we've seen on the edge all during training camp. And that includes Gronkowski, who has been a little, you know, I don't know. He hasn't been as dominating Gronk since the first day.
Hold on. You pulled out a little extra copper tone on that
one. Yeah, but wait a minute. Go back to Al. So, Allen, you like.
Yep.
We'll get to Gronk in a second. On the running backs, I was reading on your Boston Sports Journal, you gave us impressions of every guy out on the field, offense, defense, over the last couple of days. On Rex Burkhead, you said, don't see him being the starter, but to this point, he's been the best and most complete back, more elusive than I thought.
Yeah.
Rex Burkhead.
He's been really good. There were a couple plays that they worked down near the goal line where he just shook a couple linebackers out of their shorts getting open down there. And that was the kind of stuff that I wasn't – normally you see that stuff from Lewis and White. I didn't think we'd see it from Burkhead, but we have. And he's very good at reading his blockers. He's very patient. He's the most well-rounded of all the guys they have right now.
Okay. Here's what you wrote on this thing again on Rob Gronkowski, Maz. Listen to this. Greg wrote that he came out flying in the first practice with a lot of enthusiasm and was dominating. Has been very good since, but not quite as enthusiastic. Wondering if he's feeling something a little bit.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Well, I mean, this is just one guy's opinion.
This is all I want.
There were 11 other reporters there that would probably think something up. But,
was that
but
you Belichick was spitting on the other day with his little diatribe?
No, I wasn't there. Look, in my experience watching Gronkowski since he's been with the Patriots, like when he's feeling good, he is dancing, jumping all over the place. I just made the observation that I haven't seen that since the first practice. And so, you know, maybe he was a little sore from the first day. It's been a while. I don't know. But it's just he hasn't been number 87 since the first practice in my mind, but I'm sure other people would disagree with that.
So this relates to Gronk and what you just brought up, but how has Allen looked in passing drills?
He's looked okay. I haven't seen him as much in that situation because normally when that's going on, I'm watching the big guys.
Offensive lineman on the sled.
Oh, of course.
With his pants off.
Oh, that's right.
But he's down there pleasuring himself watching the it's unbelievable.
No, he does. He brings a pound of butter with him every day and just rubs himself.
Look at the pad level.
It's good. Bedard out there rubbing butter with himself, frying in Foxborough.
He goes over every player. He's got the offensive line stats. Like, I don't have the heart to get into that. You do that
you
on
know
your,
you do. You do know that. You go home and study my one-on-one reports.
Do that on your own time, Bedard. Seth and Taunton, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just want to talk real quick about the most cursed team in the NFL there. And not that they don't deserve it, a bunch of tattletale and little cheaters, but the Ravens. Has anyone ever been hit as much by before the season even starts? Dixon's out for the year. Both their number one tight ends are out for the year. Flacco's got a back injury that I pray to God stays with him all year. And then their center, Urschel, retires. No one deserves it more than them. I hope they go 0-16.
Okay.
See, I don't feel like the Ravens are all that cursed. Like, you know, I mean, they're generally pretty good. I mean, maybe they're having a bad camp. Like, I don't feel they're cursed every year.
Well, they've had a bad run since Deflategate, Maz. Can't you tell where he's on in that? Circles back to that.
Oh, so he wasn't feeling bad for him.
No, he's reveling in it, Maz.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to matter what anyone else in the AFC does or does not do this year. That's what I think.
Jerry and Chelsea on the CTE story. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, listen, Mike, yes. I wanted to say something to you and Maz about the CTE.
Do it.
I am. I think the football players of today, the younger generation that's now it's being discovered, I think that it's like going into war. You never think it's going to happen to you.
So let me just get Greg's impression of this. Do you think football's in trouble with the CTE stories and the sport? The sport at a youth level, at a grassroots level?
Overall, no. I mean, will there be some sort of trickle-down effect where, you know, there's certain players being held out of the game by their parents, like, you know, my son and things like that?
Oh, so again, you're not letting your son play?
Not. We'll talk about it in high school maybe if he wants to.
Does he have your size?
No. But he's wiry strong. He's a hockey player.
Wiry strong.
He is. Right. What do you want?
You could have just said wiry.
Wiry strong.
Anyways, but overall, no. For some of the reasons that you talked about last week, about, like, you know, there's a certain segment of players that come from, you know, rough situations that view this as a way to...
It's their way out.
Yeah, have a career and all this. And we even heard Ninkovich talk about it the other day, because Jeff Howe asked him about, look, the timing seems odd with the CTE study coming out. And Rob said, look, there's risk in everything. There's risk in, you know, getting in your car and driving, you know. But I knew the risks. I took them, and I'll deal with them. And I think 99% of NFL players are like that.
Okay, we're talking football with Bedard. You continue to join us. We'll do our first three up and three down, official three up and three down from the season with Greg so far in camp. Who looks good? Who looks bad? Bill hates it when we do this, but we're going to blow it up like crazy and shove it right in his face. Three up, three down, right after an update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. Thanks for ending your work day with Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com. Now, it's time for three up.
Throws down the middle for Adam. Ball's tipped. And Julian diving for it. Did he make the catch?
He did.
And three down.
Airborne to the uprights. And the kick bangs off the right upright. The reading.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's still
a touchdown. And a title.
Three down.
Shotgun set for Garoppolo. Throws down the middle. And it's deflected and nearly intercepted before it was nearly caught by Edelman.
That's 3 weeks in a row.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, it's our first official three up, three down of the season. Preseason training camp. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Encourage you to subscribe and consume his content. It's really good. Up and coming site there. And he founded. Anyway, he's back down there every single day. Bedard used to cover the Pats for the Globe, did this. Then he went all big and national, but now he's just back covering the Pats. And so it's a great set of eyes to have down there. Bill Belichick, this makes him want to throw up in his mouth when people evaluate players based on a couple training camp practices.
Well, I think he was talking more about no Pats. He was talking 2 days after shells or underwear, as NFL people like to say.
Too bad.
Exactly. We'll get to those comments in a minute. But Bedard gives us his impression so far, day five of camp. The three best players, the three worst players. First star, Greg.
Dietrich Wise, the fourth round pick. I mean, he's just, because today he was awesome today. He was all over the field, outside, inside, run, pass, knocking passes down, frustrating Brady. He was doing it all. I mean, now can he sustain it? Can he put one great day in with another one and do that? Because that's really the test on whether he's going to be a standout or not.
Here we go. One day into camp, and Greg's already got a raging Dietrich. I like it. I'm glad you didn't pick Brady at the very least.
Yeah,
like, that boring.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad. Pick a new guy. Good job.
Well, that's a good one, because he says Dietrich Wise, and most fans go, huh? I had to go by, like, who was they? So that was a drafted guy. Fourth round pick.
He looks the part. I mean, he's huge. He's like 6'5", 266.
271 he's listed on the one I saw.
270. I mean, he can go inside, outside. He's got pretty good athletic ability. He looks like he's been in the league for like 3 or 4 years. He has that type of body. And so it's a great sign.
Second star.
Sorry, I was just looking something up.
Good God, here we go.
Caught me in between.
Caught you in between. There's only three.
You can't remember these off the top of your head?
Lawrence Guy.
Okay, again, who the hell is that?
This that's the guy
defensive
from
tackle
Baltimore.
From Baltimore. You know, without Branch out there, he has been tremendous in the middle of the line. I mean, you know, I saw it on film when I watched. I was like, why are they signing this guy? I've never really heard of him. Then you watch. He's got great feet. He's hard to block, especially in zone blocking, going sideline to sideline. He can hold up against that point of attack, can penetrate. He's doing it all in the interior right now.
Knew we couldn't get through the top three without a fat guy in there.
Well, it's
you
just
knew
unbelievable.
That was a given.
The two stars of camp, he says, Dedrick Wise and Lawrence Guy.
Lawrence Guy.
Just some guy.
Good God.
Wait for my next one.
Oh, some offensive lineman.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Third star.
Ted Karras.
What?
Love it.
You suck.
He is the, right now, he was sort of the backup guard last year. Right now, he is the backup center, but he has been so good that I think.
Who does he supplant?
David Andrews.
What?
No.
Andrews is good.
He is good, but I think he has a chance, if he keeps playing well, that's a competition. Because Karras is a little bit bigger. He's a little bit stronger. The Patriots had some issues there holding up against bigger defensive tackles and nose tackles. So, you know, look, it's not like they've never done this before. I mean, Wendell, Conley, like all that stuff. Stork, look, you know, they won a Super Bowl with him.
Unbelievable. This is Alex's nephew, not related.
Oh, I don't even know.
I want Jimmy to archive this segment the next time someone calls
so
us a poopster.
Perfect.
That Bedard's already got a battle at center and has Dedrick
Wise
right. as the next Lawrence Taylor for crying out loud.
All the superstars on this team and future Hall of Famers and multiple Super Bowl champions and big guys with great names. We asked him for the three stars of camp, and he says Dedrick Wise, Lawrence Guy, and Ted Karras.
Ted Karras.
You have got to be kidding.
Oh, that's pathetic. Good God, that's awful.
How do you not know whether he's Alex Karras' kid or not?
His great uncle is Alex Karras.
Great uncle, right, yes.
Okay. I don't care about that stuff. What do I care?
Well, but our older demo does. Okay, they remember Mongo. Okay, they remember
and from
that
guy. Webster.
No, but you like his feet, though. You can't remember if Alex Karras is his uncle, but you like his feet. It's good.
Kid's good.
Three down. Who are the three duds so far at camp, Greg?
Coney Ealy.
Yeah! Now we're talking. This is my favorite segment.
Okay, so Coney Ealy, this is a guy that, again, they swapped third and second round picks for from Carolina. Greg just sent me a scouting report. This is compiled from Bob McGinn. He writes, or he did for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's a Packers writer, but he does great draft
stuff.
This is
when Ealy was coming out in the draft out of Missouri.
Right, so what McGinn did, again, so this is 4 years ago. He gets scouting reports on these guys coming out of college from scouts. So, McGinn, I'm writing 4 years ago on Coney Ealy when he's coming out of Missouri. He was supposed to be a first or second round pick. He ended up going in the second round.
Yeah, there was
correct?
Talk about, yeah, he went in the second round.
Okay, so a highly touted prospect. Here's what two scouts said about him. One scout said, I question his fire. If you got the right kind of coaching and put a boot into him, he might be a very good player. Whenever something doesn't work, he just shuts her down. He's just kind of out of control. He gets washed out, then he'll make a big time play. Said a third scout. He thinks he's already an Alden Smith-type player. Classic con man. I don't trust this kid. He will just be a big pain in the ass. He's one of those I'll-let-someone-else-draft-him kind of guys.
See, you can see why Belichick could go after a guy like this.
Oh,
right?
Devalued.
Contract year, yep. All of it. Like, so Bill brings him in and says, listen, I know you had some issues down there. If you listen to me, you are going to make a ton of money. If you listen to me. And if that doesn't work, this guy's hopeless.
Right. I mean, it's sort of like it's the Albert Haynesworth situation.
But it's a bad sign that you're 2 days to three, you know, a few days into camp. Okay? A few days into camp and there's already, like, signs that there's a problem?
It's not a great sign, but look, it is early. He's just sort of getting acclimated to being with these coaches. I'm willing to give him some time. But this could be like an Albert Haynesworth situation where they trade for him, they bring him in, and I think he played a couple games with the Patriots, and then he played like a dog, and they cut him. And we'll see what happens. It's up to Coney Ealy. He has the type of coaching that he needs to get. Is he going to react well to it?
Second down, second dud.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh, this is good, Greg. You're doing good work here.
Oh, now I am?
Well, at least
you ripped me before.
At least I've heard of these guys.
yeah, Jimmy's just been too inconsistent so far. You know, but then again, I like I said, so far, we've learned that he's a gamer. He's not as much of a practice guy as he is. When the lights come on, that's when he's his best.
I'm starting to think the Boston Sports Journal has a chance.
Third dud.
Derek Rivers, the third-round pick that they drafted. I don't know. I haven't noticed him at all out there. And when I have, he looks skinny. He looks like he needs a redshirt year, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, maybe he does that and he's great next year. I don't know. Maybe that's their plan with him. But there's no question that the fourth-round pick is way outplaying the third-round pick.
Carlton, who's your first dud?
Jimmy G.
So, you know, we already have Ninkovich is retired, okay? Coney Ealy has proven to suck like I said that he did. It, you know, everybody got conned by that one Super Bowl game. And Jimmy G's throwing picks like there's no tomorrow. I hear the New England Patriots DBs are changing his nickname from Jimmy G to KFC because the Galloping Chicken is so finger-picking good. He sucks, guys. They are heading south faster than even I would have predicted. 10-6 at best, guys. I gotta reassess that. I think it's now 9-7 at best.
Okay, you see what you've done already, Bedard?
This is peak Carlton.
You've given Carlton reason.
It's all going downhill because the backup quarterback hasn't looked good in the first four practices. So that means that's going to affect Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Julian Edelman and everybody else on this team.
So you call him the backup quarterback. I call him the heir apparent, Greg, the successor.
We're talking football with you. You want any questions, any issues with Greg? Greg says Garoppolo not looking so good so far. What does that mean to you? 617-779-0985.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz, radio.com. Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
The competitive level out there is not what it's going to be starting tomorrow. To evaluate players competitively when they're not on a competitive level, you know, I have a hard time with. But I know a lot of the people are real good at that, and they can make a lot more out of it than I can, so I respect that. But due to my personal limitations and my personal inability to make those evaluations, I don't make them.
Oh, lighten up, Bill. Good God. If you won't, we will. We got Bedard.
Now, what that was is that he was getting a lot of questions. This was through one or two days of non-padded practices. And he keeps getting a lot of questions from some of the younger reporters on, you know, how do you think so-and-so's done? So-and-so looks really good. And he's just like, look, we haven't even put the pads on yet. So can we hold off a little bit before making any judgments until the pads are on?
If he said that, I'd be fine.
I that's what he meant when he said,
No.
Tomorrow the competitiveness goes up.
He can't help but just belittling those guys sometimes, which I just don't feel like is, like, why? Those guys give him a hard time down there? Does he face a lot of pushback from those guys down there?
No.
So what are we doing? You know, why belittle those kids? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't have the, you know, I'm not as good as you guys. I'm doing my own personal limitations. Just, you know, even by my standards, a little too douchey. But anyway, this is what we're doing. We're evaluating. We don't have a problem. We're down there the editorial we. Bedard is down there 4 or 5 days. Coney Ealy, already an issue. Robin Methuen, go ahead, Rob.
Mean Ralph.
Or Ralph. Go ahead, Ralph and Methuen.
Yes. With Bedard there, I was hoping that he could educate Maz on the fact that a super pick last year is the ideal pick was a guy like Joe Thuney, who comes in as a rookie, starts every game, and leads them to a Super Bowl in his first year.
Leads them?
Now, that's a great pick.
So I don't get what, I don't understand what you had said to,
I don't know.
Well, Maz keeps saying he stinks. And the guy came in and started the whole year. He was picked by Garnecchia to start as a rookie. He played every single game right up until the Super Bowl. And that still gives him a hard time. Every time you mention his name, he wants, like, he wants to throw up.
Yeah, I just don't think he's very good, Rob. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. Ralph.
He's pretty good, and he's been pretty good this training camp so far.
Oh, okay.
Shaq Mason comes and goes. He had a great day the other day. Today, not so good.
Yeah, look, I told you. I just go by what I read and what I saw. And there were a lot of, what, how many penalties did he have last year? Was he among the league leaders in penalties at his position?
It's like one a game.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a ton of penalties there. So, and I understand he's a rookie, and I understand all that. I'm sorry that I disagree with you, Ralph.
617-779-0985. Mike and Lowell, hi.
Hey, I was just wondering how Jacoby Brissett was doing.
Aha, thank you. I wanted to get to that as well. As I read Greg's report on bostonsportsjournal.com, here's what he said about Jacoby Brissett, which I wanted to hit on because I feel the same way. Greg says, surprised the Patriots haven't tightened up his motion more by now. Doesn't really suit this offense. What do you mean by that?
He's still got that, you know, long motion. Like when he goes to throw, he drops the ball down by his hip and it takes a while to get up. And that's more of a motion for a classic drop back deep passing team than not, you know, Brady and Garoppolo like get rid of it in like 0.25 seconds. And, you know, that throwing deep is not a priority in this offense. It's more about quickness and fitting it into spots. And I thought
he's got a long windup.
He does. Absolutely. And so it just doesn't fit with how they do things, but that doesn't mean that, you know, what they do is, you know, they when Brady got hurt, when Castle was the quarterback, you know, the offense was tailored one way to Brady, and when they had to go to Castle, they tailored it to him. So in the worst case scenario, they would tailor it to Brissett. But I just thought by now, I thought they would have tightened it up a little, and they haven't.
Is there anything to glean the way they're repping them? Are Brady and Garoppolo splitting, you know,
yeah, they
reps
are.
Basically, and Brissett's taking the rest?
Yes.
So what do you take from that?
I think that it's just they're managing Tom. I think that, look, they're like, he's going to be 40 in a couple days, and, you know, he's eating all that avocado ice cream and pliability and drinking all his fruity water, and, you know, now, but still, he's going to be 40, and so we need to manage him, and maybe they do think he tired a little bit at the end of last year, and they want to keep that from happening again.
Noah in Michigan, a thought on Garoppolo. Go ahead.
Hey, Bernard, I think you're very good at your job. I was just curious. Jimmy G, he's got 1 year left, I believe, and Kirk Cousins is going to get between $26 and $30 million this year. The Lions are trying and they're hoping to get Stafford to sign a four-year deal for $33 million per. So I'm just wondering, there's no freaking way that Garoppolo is going to sign with the Patriots. So what are they going to do with him?
All right, so this is something that I think has not been explored fully, and I brought this up a couple weeks ago. The quarterback landscape across the league, and if you're a team looking for a quarterback, first of all, the first two or three guys off the board in the draft are going to be quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Luke Darnold, who are those other kids? I mean,
right, Rosen.
It could go 1-2-3 quarterback.
Yep.
So if you're the Jets, the Browns, the Niners, one of those teams that's going to have a top five pick and need a quarterback, what's a better play? Trading picks for Jimmy Garoppolo or drafting one of these kids at the top of the draft? So all I'm saying is there's competition for Garoppolo. Furthermore, Drew Brees is going to be a free agent. Kirk Cousins is going to be a free agent. Matthew Stafford's going to be a free agent. And I know these things can be, you know, they could be franchise tags. And all I'm saying is Garoppolo's hardly the only guy in the pond there. It feels like he's going to have a lot of competition. And teams, if the Patriots try and ask for too much or he asks for too much, these other teams are going to have a lot of other options other than him.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it. But, I mean, you know, let's just suppose. I mean, I think what's going to happen is the Patriots are going to franchise him and try to trade him under the tag. How many teams are going to play ball with that?
What you think now? You think they're going to tag him and franchise him and try to trade him under the tag?
If they decide to stick with Brady. I mean, it's all, you know, we've talked about, like, I think it's just Jimmy's buying them more data on Tom, and we'll see. So if it comes out that they say, okay, we're good with Brady for another 3 years, then I think they do tag Garoppolo, and then they trade him similar to Castle.
But how can Belichick get to this stage and say, I'm going to, you know, see what it looks like for one more year, and then Brady plays well and think he's going to get three more? You follow me? In other words, it's only the high probability is it's going to get worse with Brady going forward, not better. In fact, it's more likely going forward that he's going to get worse than it is now. A year from now, the odds will be increased that he's going to get worse. So why would Belichick franchise Garoppolo to trade him? Don't you think the time to trade him has come and gone, that he's already basically said, I'm keeping Jimmy as a successor, it's just a question of how I keep him here?
Well, if he comes to that conclusion, then, you know, look, you're not trading him, you're not franchising him. Or, you know, you're trying to do, maybe you do franchise him and you try to sign him. But, you know, I don't know. I still think there's time for them to make a decision on Brady. I mean, you know, look, he's played really well. I mean, I just think that with the four-game suspension last year, the Texans game, the Super Bowl for three quarters, maybe Belichick does have a strong feeling that this is it, and then we're moving on to Jimmy. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I think at the least, they're buying themselves another year of data on Brady.
So you think it's possible that they looked at two of the last three games for Brady and said, we need to see more?
I think it's possible, yes.
I mean, I just...
That's a borderline hot take right there. That might be considered borderline clickbait If you put a good headline on that, Bedard. If you put the right kind of headline on that, I bet you'd get some clicks.
I come up with some good headlines.
I just don't think – I think that the time to trade Garoppolo was now.
Like, oh, no question.
Well, but no, because here's the second guess. If they try and trade him under the franchise tag, they'll get a second or third round pick, right? They got a second for Castle, but again, given the conditions I just described, I don't know if you get a second for Garoppolo when there's all those good quarterbacks at the draft. And there's going to be a couple of free agents, and I don't know, but it's going to be a second or third round pick. If you turn down the 12th overall pick in the draft and maybe a third or, you know, the 12th overall pick and something else really good, and then a year later only get a second or a third out of it, you've sort of blown that asset, haven't you?
Well, and then on top of it all, Brady will be a year older. Like, again, he's a year closer to the end on top of it. So there's more reason to keep Garoppolo next year than
he's
there is right now.
Playing until 50. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, yeah, there you go.
And on top of it all, according to Greg Bedard, and I'll give you another headline, Garoppolo has sucked so far at training camp. What does that mean? We discuss right after the update here. 90 seconds, no commercials, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mazz. Felger and Mazz.